Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well, man. What you been up to since I saw you last? It's been almost 12 hours, I think.
I know. We try to see each other every 12 hours, so that's good. No, we went downtown, saw the studio, worked a little there, did our first Showbiz Atlanta show over there. That was pretty exciting. Had a, what was he? What was his role? I tried to tell my wife.
He was like the chaos demon on Buffy the Vampire.
Yes. So for all you Buffy fans out there, we met him. He's a huge guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's full grown, as they say in my neck of the woods.
That's right. And super nice guy. Super nice guy. He's doing amazing things in teaching acting. And he's directing and he's producing and he's writing. And he had, what do you say, the cast of the Billy Crystal movie? Did some casting work out of his
studio? They're using his studio to do casting calls. I don't really know that business that well, but I learned a lot yesterday just listening in. Who knew there was that much going on in entertainment here in Atlanta?
Right.
That is just
the guy said that Robert De Niro's here, Clint Eastwood's here right now filming, and like another three or four other well-known.
Well, I told him at the desk if Bobby or Clint stopped by just to welcome him back. I left the door unlocked.
That's a good idea. But we have a great show today.
Yeah, we do. A little bit later in the program, we are going to hear from a return guest, Mr. Eric Balkin with the Boss Group, and we're going to hear from one of the headliners out at that Stay in the Game Summit, one of those guys, Robert Reed, with Social Eclipse. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce another return guest from the esteemed law firm Fisher & Phillips, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah. So what have you accomplished since we saw you last?
Well, the most recent thing we've accomplished, we just announced this week that the firm's opened two new offices in Boston and Memphis, which is pretty exciting for us. And the firm now has 27 offices around the country and 270 attorneys.
Wow.
And we focus on just labor and employment law, representing employers.
And you're the grand poobah of marketing for this outfit, right?
That's not the title we use, but I've been called worse. I'm the chief marketing officer, but I work with a really good team. We have inside the firm about 9 different people who do various things in marketing and business development. Some report to me, some report to other people. We're not completely centralized. And we also use a lot of outside resources like public relations consultants and web developers and things like that to help us out.
Now, when you were a kid and you were dreaming one day you'd be the marketing guy for a law firm, like how did the path get you actually to this law firm?
Well, it's circuitous and it was almost accidental, really. I went to journalism school and worked as a journalist for about 15 years in television, initially in radio. I worked in radio in high school and college, and through college I had a radio gig at a country radio station.
Are you auditioning here, Kevin?
No, I'm not. Those days are well behind me. They were fun. I didn't make any money, but I had a lot of fun at it. But I did that for about 15 years and got out of TV in the early 90s and landed a job as the head of marketing at a software company in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I went to this company and luckily they hired me. I went in and found out what they did was they did software for the trucking industry. And I went in and literally told them I knew nothing about computers and I knew less about trucking.
And they go, our guy.
But I knew how to communicate, and that's what they needed. And they said, okay, fine, and they hired me. And I stayed there for a little over 5 years, and we grew rapidly. And I'm still friends with the CEO of that company. But I left that company and went up to Connecticut to work for actually a competitor, and then got invited to come to Atlanta to work for another technology company that was in the transportation space, and it was a .com. Unfortunately, it didn't last long, as so many of them did in around the year 2000. And then I ended up working at a couple PR firms here in town, and at one of them, fortunately, I brought in Fisher & Phillips as a client, and they were my client for about 4 years. And when I first started working with the firm, I think it had somewhere around 100 attorneys,
and
10 or 12
now
cities.
They've almost tripled thanks to you.
Well, not thanks to me, I was there for the ride is the way I would characterize it. But when the firm decided they wanted to finally start a marketing department because they did not have one, one thing led to another. We had a couple of discussions, and I ended up going over there. And initially, it was just myself and an assistant, and then we've grown the department, and the firm's just been growing leaps and bounds. And I don't take credit for any of that. The firm is led by our chairman, Roger Quillen, who's been our chairman for over 10 years. He's really been the steward of that growth, and it's probably one reason why he's still the chairman after more than 10 years.
This whole concept of marketing a law firm just fascinates me. Now, wasn't there a time in history here in the United States where it was inappropriate or even illegal to market legal services? Have I got that right?
Yeah, there was a period when basically all law firms could do was you could hang a shingle on your door and maybe take out a Yellow Pages listing.
Right.
And that was about it. And there were law firms that were, you know, not they were bothered by that. And they thought, why should we not be able to advertise what we do, because every other company and every other professional service organization can. There was a Supreme Court decision in the 79, I don't remember the exact case, so I can't cite it, but the Supreme Court finally ruled that, well, yes, there's no reason law firms shouldn't be able to advertise. And that's when law firms started to advertise. Now, there were issues around that because some law firms came out with some pretty bad ads. And I don't mean just poorly executed. I mean ads that were, you know, might have been characterized as misleading or, you know, weren't as upfront to potential clients as they should be. Now, we've come, I mean, light years since that time. I mean, law firm marketing now is very sophisticated. And
at least at Fisher and Phillips.
And okay. I like to say we are, but I also give credit to my colleagues and peers at other law firms, because law firm marketing has gotten very sophisticated. I mean, 10 or 15 years ago, the idea of having a CMO at a law firm would have been almost unheard of. And now it's fairly common that large law firms have a CMO. And under that, you'll have you may have marketing directors, head of PR, business development managers. You're using a lot of outside resources. Law firm advertising online, print, on air has gotten very sophisticated. And law firms actually have plans. They put together campaigns. There's a group of attorneys within our firm, and this is pretty common in law firms, that it's called our development committee. Some firms call it something else. And we meet once a year and plan what we're going to do for the next year. I mean, we actually decide well in advance. Before 2012, we knew everywhere we were going to advertise, how much we were going to spend, and had all the contracts lined up and in place October, November. And there was a time law firms never thought about that. I mean, right. We actually planned this in advance the way businesses have been doing it for, you know, probably a couple hundred years.
So given this legacy of the way things were at one point, do you find that sometimes this group is maybe a little more resistant to marketing ideas and strategies than others? Or are you finding that they know it's a competitive environment, they appreciate it, they embrace it, and they're tweeting and Facebook? How are they doing the social media thing?
Well, that's a growing area for law firms. But to answer your first question is the attorneys, even attorneys who've been around a long time and saw the change and what they could do regarding marketing are really embracing it. Because the legal industry is extremely competitive now. And if you're not out there touting your brand, you're going to get lost. So attorneys embrace it. That's why law firms are growing departments. I mean, our marketing and business development group has expanded tremendously just in the last 2 years. And that doesn't happen without the attorneys supporting it. Now, social media is an interesting area. And I taught a CLE to the Georgia Bar Association last week on social media. And I have, you know, some opinions about what works and what doesn't, and other marketing people in the legal field will not necessarily agree with me, but I do think social media has a place for law firms. And the areas that I find that I think work best are LinkedIn. I think every attorney should have a very robust LinkedIn profile and should be updating it regularly and should use it to try to connect with other people, not just put up what their latest case was or what article they've written or where they did a speech. I also think blogs done well are important. We have a process in our firm that if an attorney or attorneys want to produce a blog, they have to write a business plan for it and submit it to the marketing partner and myself. And then we talk to them and make sure they're really committed to it, and then we'll support it. And we currently have 3 blogs, and we'll probably be launching a 4th one soon. But I think blogs are a really good way for an attorney or a group of attorneys in a practice group to really show their thought leadership and get their name out there. And one of the things we have found with blogs, which has been really interesting to see over time, because our first blog we launched a little over 2 years ago, it's been amazing to watch the media that follow our blogs and how often blog postings get picked up by media and then get reposted on blogs or end up in online magazines, sometimes without contacting us. As long as they're attributing it to us, we're fine with that. You know, we're not fans of plagiarism, but a lot of times they'll call us and say, hey, I'd like to talk to the attorney who wrote that blog posting.
Now, what about the to get it through the heads of the lawyers that, you know, this is an investment and, you know, they're so billable hour oriented. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of move them past that?
Well, that's the kind of thing that you can't make a lawyer do it. It's up to the lawyer who wants to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can make the case for them and other lawyers who have done it will make the case for them. But at the end of the day, it's an individual decision. And once you're a partner in a law firm, I mean, you make your own hours and, you know, you've got to decide what works for you. I mean, They do have billable hours that they're supposed to hit, as all professional service organizations do, but you can't ever force an attorney to do it. So the attorneys who do it, when an attorney comes to me and says, I'm interested in doing a blog, I ask them, do you have any idea how much of a time commitment this is? Because If you're going to do a blog, we have a rule of thumb, and it may not be right, but our rule of thumb is, you must post something a minimum of once a week.
Right.
We prefer two or three. And we tell them, you know, it's got to be well thought out. And it can be brief, but, you know, it's got to be done well. And so I always have them talk to the attorneys who've been doing it from day one in our firm. And some of them come back like, wow, I had no idea It takes that much time to do something that well.
So if someone were interested in entering this field of law firm mm-hmm. marketing,
yep.
which I'm getting the idea that really is an actual career path
yes,
nowadays, what advice would you give them? How would you tell them to get started?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it. If it's somebody who's just starting their career, they're in school, I would start contacting law firms to find out if there might be internships available, because law firm marketing departments do offer internships. I would also tell them to become members as soon as possible of an organization called the Legal Marketing Association. It's a great peer group, and the one thing I have found in that group is that law firm marketers are a real helpful bunch. It's a very interesting industry where the people who are technically my competitors that will compare notes and talk to each other about what works and what doesn't work. And I have a kind of, I call it my little kitchen cabinet of law firm marketers who I can pick up the phone and ask them, have you ever been confronted with this, and how did you deal with it? And they will tell me. And it's a great organization, and it really emphasizes networking and mentoring. So I would tell them at an early stage, you know, look for an internship, get involved in LMA. If you're a marketer in another industry right now, I would say get involved with LMA and start networking with folks and just work your way in.
So there's a lot of opportunity there for marketers?
It's a growth area. I mean, mm-hmm. law firms are adding marketing people. They're not.
Right.
They're not.
Now, when you're marketing for attorneys, are there any things you've learned over the years doing this that some things work better than others? Like, how's the back of the Yellow Pages doing?
Terrible. I mean, I see no use in it. No offense to anybody with the Yellow Pages. We don't do the Yellow Pages.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we stopped doing the Yellow Pages, and we've added some offices recently that were in the Yellow Pages.
Do people even look at the Yellow Pages now?
I think not, but the Yellow Pages will tell you differently.
I'm sitting on the Yellow Pages so I can reach the mic.
I think if somebody... the type of law we practice, the in-house counsel of large companies,
right.
I don't think look in the Yellow Pages to find lawyers.
Where do they look?
They look, well, they talk to their peers, first of all, and they may look on an outfit or an outlet like Martindale Hubble, which is produced by LexisNexis, and it's a big database of attorneys and law firms.
But do they really use that to look? They'll say, you know, I need this kind of lawyer. Oh, here's that category, and I'm just going to just randomly pick somebody out of that book?
Out of that book. It's not a book. It's an online resource.
Right.
Well, they're not going to just pick you. They're going to check you out. And they may decide whether you are somebody they want to speak with or send an RFP to.
So that's why the blog's so important, right? Because I'm going to check you out before I even pick up the phone. I'm going to read your blog. I'm going to see you've got credibility. I'm going to see you have this awesome interview that you did on Business Radio X. I listen to you, sound like you know what you're talking about, all that kind of stuff. But people do a lot of that. A lot more of that up front before you ever meet them now, don't they?
Oh, they do. And there was a survey that was done in 2010 by some very reputable research organizations that showed something like, I think it was around 30% of in-house counsel who hire attorneys look at blogs, look very closely at firm websites. They're checking people out.
Now, in this marketplace, like you said, they're checking people out, and and it's evolving so rapidly, how do you stay on top of, like you mentioned, LinkedIn, but there's other outlets out there like Quora's out there now that's a lot of professional services are poking around it. How do you kind of stay in the forefront of what's kind of where you should play because of the limited time that you have and then your attorneys have?
Well, there are a lot of things. Like you said, there are a lot of things we can do, but we do look at everything that's out there and we evaluate it and decide what makes sense for us and what doesn't. And then we share that with the attorneys. And then it's up to them. If they see something and they want to be involved, well, then they can do that on their own, but the firm won't support it. I mean, we do have an internal effort underway to try to get all of our attorneys on LinkedIn because we do believe that that's an important area for them to be. I've held in internal lunch and learns for attorneys just to show them how to set up on LinkedIn and what to do with LinkedIn.
But so you don't do it for them.
No.
You just kind of bring the horse to water. It's up to them to drink.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, 270 people trying to do social media. You know, one of the things about social media, you're supposed to be doing it. If you're not doing it, what's the point?
It's got to be authentic.
What I said to somebody one time who was advocating that maybe marketing should do everybody's LinkedIn profiles for them, I said, well, would you send your assistant to a cocktail party in your stead? And they were like, oh,
nice
well,
analogy.
Actually, no, I wouldn't. And I said, well, it's kind of the same thing.
And they bought that?
This lawyer did.
So the focus is just exclusively on labor law, yes? Did I hear that properly?
At our firm, labor and employment, we call it management side labor and employment, representing employers. There are certain categories under that, like immigration, employee benefits. You know, there are a lot of things that fall under labor and employment, but that's it. We're a labor and employment law firm.
Now, from a marketing standpoint, you mentioned LinkedIn, social media. Do you do events? Do you do, like, conferences, white papers? Like, what's in your arsenal to market?
Well, we do a lot. We're very big in events. In fact, in April, we did this last year, and we won some awards for it, partly because of how we marketed it. We are going to do our one-day seminar on a wide gamut of labor and employment issues all in the month of April at 20-something different locations. And we do it all within about a two-and-a-half-week period.
Wow.
And so we do one promotional piece that covers the whole thing. It lists all the cities, where the venues are, how to register. We have it all online, and we send that out. We're sponsors of important organizations that work for us, like the SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Professionals, Human Resource Management. We partner with some media outlets to produce our own events. For instance, we're about to, later in this year, we'll be doing our labor law symposium, which we do in Chicago in conjunction with a magazine called Inside Counsel. We do webinars. A couple years ago, we won a national award for our webinar program. We did, in that year, we did 99 webinars and added thousands and thousands of new names and contacts to our database.
So you get the attorneys to do that?
The attorneys do all of them.
And
what they
so they'll do that, but the blogging they won't do.
Yeah, and the thing about a webinar is, you know, that's 1 hour of their time once it goes live.
Right.
And once they've prepared a topic, they can do it more than once if they want. And sometimes we do. I mean, people couldn't believe how many people we were drawing to our webinars that we promoted ourselves.
Right.
And we would have to, our technology allows us to have up to 1,000 attendees.
Right.
We were shutting down registration and then having a second event because we had so many people coming. And we have found that our pre-registration numbers we typically get, and this has been consistent for about the last 3 years, we get about 75% of the pre-registered people actually show up for an event. So we usually close the registration at around 1,100 or 1,200, knowing that we're not going to get them all.
Right.
But we'll end up with 800 people on an event.
Wow.
And people don't believe me when I tell them that, but we do it consistently.
And those are prospective clients for you?
A lot of them are existing clients, and a lot of them are potential clients. And one of the things we have discovered is that the marketing that we do, which is all electronic, is people are pushing it out to their friends.
They're sharing.
So they're sharing it, and that's why we're capturing, in 1 year, it was 5,000, somewhere around there, new contacts in our system that the only way they became new contacts
was
is somebody
webinar.
Else sent them the email and said, you ought to check these guys out. And our attorneys are really good at it. And as a result of doing these webinars, they get invited to do webinars by other organizations. We have media call up and say, would you do a webinar for us? We have clients call up and say, would you do it? We have other third parties call up and say, we like that topic. would you do it for our group, which is great because we don't have to promote it. The attorney shows up at the prescribed time, usually on their technology, and we're talking to potentially a new audience.
Right, and then do you get to capture that database? That
it depends on the organization that we're working with. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Right, so that's a double win then.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So if our listeners want to learn more about Fisher & Phillips and those practice areas and or would like to get tapped into some of these associations, organizations that could help them in their pursuit of their marketing career, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
Our website, laborlawyers.com. Really easy to remember. And we have a very robust website. I really like our website. It's got a lot of content on it. Media love our website. They go there all the time.
Well, it's been an absolute delight having you back on the show, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming and visiting with us. We got to have you back.
Okay, anytime. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, how about tomorrow?
I'm busy tomorrow morning. Maybe another day.
Hey, will you hang out with us for a little while we visit
sure.
with some of our other
Absolutely.
Guests?
Absolutely.
Terrific. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio is another return guest. We all these return guests.
I know. There's a lot of
repeat. Is it because no one else will come on the show,
That's
or is it,
it
because
we're
they
tapped
love us?
Out. We're tapped out.
We've already reached everyone in Atlanta, right? But Mr. Eric Balkin with the Boss Group, welcome back, man.
Good to be back. I had a good time last time. Figured I'd do it again.
Yeah. So what do you think? You want to be a marketing guy for a law firm now that you heard all that?
Well, actually, I'm good on the other side of the business, and I work with guys like Kevin here, the Boss Group, to remind people or to let people know who haven't heard before. We're a niche creative staffing company. We place marketing, creative, and interactive talent with our clients on a temporary, temp hire, or permanent basis. We're in our 25th year now in several markets around the country. And like I said, I work with people like Kevin here, CMOs and VPs of marketing and creative directors, fulfilling their needs, their staffing needs and staff augmentation. We partner with them and give them a lot of flexibility with their workforce.
So do creatives have better prospects in front of them with respect to potential job placement than others, or is it as much of a challenge for them as it is anybody else? What's the horizon look for in terms of getting work as a creative?
Sure. Better than some and not as good as others. I mean, it's all relative. And obviously, certainly no secret, the overall economy is not great now and is tough for everybody. But having said that, within the creative field, there is a lot of opportunity, and especially on the interactive side, on the website. And if you've got skills in the mobile applications, for example,
like what kind of
social
skills?
Media.
Like I can talk on the phone.
Well, yeah,
I think you're very creative.
Right, right,
at least creative.
Yeah, you're very, very creative. And talking on the phone, unfortunately,
that's
is not
a skill.
Not
paid for that.
No, my 8-year-old daughter's real good at that too, but I wouldn't necessarily hire her.
So what's the mobile skill I need?
But when I say mobile applications, I mean if you can develop mobile applications, if you can. It's really everything from concept to completion. There are different stages of this. So companies now, like Kevin said, his law firm are doing, they're very involved in social media. And a law firm, to use as an example, they're great at law. They're not necessarily good at marketing. That's why they hire a guy like Kevin, and that's why he partners with a company like the Boss Group. So we can provide people, let's say that they wanted to develop an application, a mobile app for their law firm, and they need somebody to come in and be able to do the technical work that goes behind that. So the IT and creative part of developing the app itself, getting it out there, and also somebody, if they don't have this internally, to help manage a strategy for that, a social media strategy. It's not as simple as, hey, I'm on LinkedIn, let's sit back and wait for people to contact me. It doesn't work like that. You have to be very, very active. There are a lot of social media outlets, and you've got to pick and choose the ones that you're going to be on to target your specific audience. You've got to be very actively involved in keeping those updated on a regular basis. So there's a lot that goes into that, a lot of different moving parts.
Now, say I have a growing company, and I'm thinking of hiring somebody creative or wanting to use your firm to help find that person.
Sure.
What can you walk us through what that engagement looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. First thing I would do it would be to come out and meet with you and really to determine what your needs are going to be. The Boss Group works we're not transactional in our in nature at all, so it's very consultative. So I want to come out and really figure out everything I can about your company, your role, what it is you want to do, who are your clients, both internally and externally.
So what's a misconception I typically have? Like, do I think you're going to do more than you typically do, or
it runs the gamut. One thing that actually makes me really happy is that the clients these days are very well educated, and generally, for the most part, they know what to expect and have realistic expectation. That's certainly, they come to me as the expert and say, hey, I think I've got, you know, 80% of this. What's the other 20%?
Right.
You know, on occasion, somebody will say, I want somebody to come in and develop a marketing plan, develop an update for my website.
And get me six clients.
Get me six clients.
Do, and you know, I'll pay them $100 a week.
20 different things. Right. For, and I'm going to pay them 30 grand a year. You know, they're talking about five different positions,
right.
You know, each of which is, a, you know, some of which are six-figure positions. So then I have to say, well, let's back up a little bit here,
right.
And be realistic and figure out, you know, what's your budget, what are your needs, what are your time frames, and
right.
And so
and but how quickly can you get me somebody typically? I know, I'm sure it depends on what the skill I'm looking for.
It does. If you need a graphic designer to come in and do you know, a revamp of something, I can get that for you tomorrow. If you need somebody that has a very specific skill in a very specific niche.
Like if I need a mobile app. You got mobile app guys on the
bench? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you need a developer to come in. Now, it doesn't mean that he's going to come in tomorrow and be finished the next day.
Sure.
But at least I can get you somebody relatively quickly. Yeah, and get them started. Absolutely. Yeah, we have well over 150,000 people in our database, talent in our company database. So we have, you know, 90% of what you need, we have them available and ready to go. For the other 10%, we'll do a very specific and dedicated search for you and find them relatively quickly.
Now, if I'm a creative person, what kind of helps me stand out in your mind to help you place me faster?
Bow tie?
Yep. Is that what
bow
it is?
yeah, that's very creative. Yeah, wear a bow tie and I'll find you a job tomorrow. It's funny, I actually have a client whose company makes bow ties, and that's what they do. It really to be best prepared to find something quickly, especially in the creative field. You need, I mean, there's some obvious things. You need to have the background, the education,
right.
And that kind of goes.
But I
got to
stand
saying,
out.
Right?
Like, do I use like a yellow resume paper? Is that going to work with you?
Those things really don't go over too
really?
Well. I'll tell you what not
what
to
if
do.
Confetti don't... pours out of the envelope.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't just see a job that you like online, apply online, and sit back and wait for something to happen. It's not going to happen.
Really?
Yeah. You have to have an in. You have to have a connection. You have to know people. And that's where companies like mine, like The Boss Group, will help you. I've already got the established relationships. I've already got the connections. So you don't need to do anything outlandish or
just got
to
be good.
You got to be good, and you've got to be able to connect with somebody that can get you in the door.
Right. Now, what if I'm like, you know, I got to leave by 2 because that's when my stories are on.
You know what? Surprisingly, there, especially in the creative field, there is a lot of flexibility. A lot of my clients are fine with people working virtually, working from home, working offsite. As long as the work gets done,
they don't care.
That's the important thing. Yeah. So it's really not a.
Could I take more than one assignment? Is that frowned upon?
It depends. I have a lot of clients who have project-based work, and they'll say, I need this done in the next 3 weeks. And if somebody can do that working 15 hours a week doing it, and they can do something else working 15
you're
hours
okay
a week
with
also,
that.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So as an employer, I'm operating under the impression that one of the major advantages is that you've vetted these people.
Definitely. Right. Definitely. We vetted them thoroughly. We do thorough testing. We have behavioral-based interviews. Our tests are all developed in-house. They're based on actual client engagements that we've done. So they're real-world applicable. We meet everybody face-to-face before we send them out. So you're not going to get somebody with green hair and tattoos in their face unless I know and tell you first and you're okay with that.
You brought somebody here.
That actually works okay on radio. It's really not
on radio, it's fine, yeah. But if they're going to be client-facing, maybe not so much.
Right.
We also do reference checks, and we talk to former employers that they've worked with. So, yeah, we're vetting them completely. And this is all we do. I mean, we're niche creative, and we do that exclusively. So if we don't do it well, I'm out of business pretty quickly.
Now,
so, yeah.
what do you need more of, creative? Or you need more people to place, like the clients to put them in?
We're always looking for both. I mean, the client base that we have now is great. Obviously, I want to expand that, you know, and make it bigger. The talent pool that we have now is great. Obviously, I want to expand that and make it bigger as well. So both.
So it's not what's a chicken and egg thing, or you always need more clients?
Well,
you can always find the creatives.
It's not that I need more of one or the other. I mean, it's. There are a lot of great creatives here. They're attracted to companies like The Boss Group. We're good at finding them, and we have a lot of them, but we want more. And the same on the client side. I mean, we have a lot of great client relationships, but always looking for more. I mean, I don't think you ever have enough, you know, in that sense.
So how does your marketing work? You know, we spent the last interview talking a great deal about marketing.
Sure.
How do you guys go to market, get the word out, that kind of thing?
Yeah, great question. We're very, very well integrated in the creative community in all of our markets. So we sponsor and host networking events. We actually had one last night called Creative Connects. If people go to creativeconnects.com, you can find out more about that. That is a great networking event that we host and sponsor, and people can come and just hang out with other creatives, both on the client side and the talent side, meet people, learn about them. We also are heavily social media savvy. Obviously, we kind of have to be. So we have our YouTube page, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. We use social media quite a bit. We're involved in a lot of networking groups. So there are a lot of different avenues that we use. Referrals are real big for us as well. But we want to make sure that we got our name out in the creative community.
Well, I want to ask you about referrals,
because
so many people come through here, and we often will ask them about their sales and marketing, and so many of them will say word of mouth and that we lean on referrals a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I've come to believe there is a real science to making referrals work for you intentionally and in some predictable fashion.
Sure.
What advice, if any, would you offer to our listeners in terms of cultivating referrals?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe rewarding referrals as well.
Yeah, on the reward side, probably no secret, people like money. So, yeah, we pay for referrals. But that's not really why we get most of the referrals. It's kind of, you know, it's a nice thing that we do. And if people do refer other people to us, we do pay a referral fee. But really, what you need to do is treat people really well and make sure that they're getting something out of it as well. So, if I have a talent that's working for me now, say a graphic designer, he or she is probably going to know five other great graphic designers. I'm going to want to meet them as well. If I make this person feel like I'm really working for them, that I'm doing everything I can to find them a job, to get them a good paycheck, find them something they love doing, they're going to want to let their friends know about that. They're going to want to make sure that the people that they know and care about are treated the same way. Again, the referral fee doesn't hurt either. So we certainly do that. But we make sure that we really are focused on the people that we're helping, and we help them properly. And if you do that and you ask them, you know, wouldn't you like to do the same for other people that you know, they're going to say yes.
So how can our listeners reach out, learn more about the Boss Group, and have a substantive conversation with you about some of these
sure.
issues?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. The best way is go to our website, thebossgroup.com, thebossgroup.com. There are, again, it's a great site. There are a lot of links to other resources there you can look at. Our office in Atlanta is in the Buckhead area. So go to the site. You can register with us online. You can give us a call. The contact information is on there, and certainly be happy to talk to anybody who's interested.
And they can see you at those, what, monthly networking?
Yeah, when's your next event?
Right. They're the second Wednesday of every other month. So we have one yesterday. The next one will be the second Wednesday of March. And they're at various locations around Atlanta, but the location and information is always updated on the site as well. It's called Creative Connects, creativeconnects.com, which you can also link to through the Boss Group website. We also have links to our social media sites on there as well.
Well, thanks for coming back and visiting with us, man. It's
my
always
pleasure.
Fun to have you in the studio.
I appreciate it. It's great being back. Look forward to doing it again.
Well, I tell you what, all kidding aside, we really would like to have you back, and I think it would be fun if you come in with a client sometime.
I would love to do that.
Maybe
Kevin will be my client
there
next
you go.
Time, and we'll come back together.
And we'll have you both back.
Exactly.
Hey, hang out with us while we visit with some of the other folks in the studio, will you?
Love to.
By the way, Lee, they just keep coming.
I noticed
people
that.
Keep coming through.
Now, I was thinking, why don't we bring all of the Rico's crew on at the same time.
Works for me. That works for me.
Right.
So, yeah, we have several people that are involved in this event that's happening on Saturday, January the 14th, the Stay in the Game Summit.
Right.
And for several episodes now, we visited with some of their headliners and their speakers. And today we're going to visit with Robert Reed with the Social Eclipse. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Thank you. Good to see you guys this morning.
So tell us a little bit about the Social
Eclipse. Isn't there more of your people here, Rico?
No, it's just me and Rico.
Okay, that's it? Okay.
That's it.
Well, you had a whole crew.
You have to come out to the summit to see the rest
yeah.
of us.
The VIP lounge.
So tell us about the Social Eclipse.
Well, we're a branding, multimedia marketing, and website development company that has partnered with Pina Global this year to do all the back-end work for his Stay in the Game Summit for 2012.
They're the guys that make us look really good when you go to the website.
How are they doing, Rico?
They're doing outstanding. The quality of work, the service, one of the biggest issues we always have with IT, or tend to have, is callbacks or getting work done in a certain amount of time, or
getting your vision on a website or a Facebook and then connecting it together. SocialEclipse by far supersede anyone we've ever worked with. They know how the trends that are coming out, what exactly the reactions we want, how did it look like, but then they're personal and they always respond. So they've been outstanding.
Thank you, Rico. We're not even paying this guy either.
We're paying them.
So what can we expect to see out of this event? And, Robert, what are you trying to accomplish through this event?
Well, part of our job is going to be, we're going to be there training social media, how small businesses can use their effectively social media to get business coming in the door and stay in the game in social media.
Now, I know a big part of this event is the Wounded Warrior project.
That's correct.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
The Wounded Warrior Project began as our soldiers were coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan. And as you know, they were dealing with PTSD, financial burdens, also having to with prosthetics and injuries from IEDs. So the Wounded Warrior began as a couple's son was coming home. He needed a prosthetic leg and couldn't find it. There was no support. So they started a project to support all of the wounded soldiers coming home. They provide the prosthetics, they provide all the rehab, the financing and financial support, anything that veterans going to need when they come home to assimilate back into society, to be able to have a normal life that without the project they wouldn't have.
Cool. So that's some of the money raised goes to that?
Yeah. Now, over 90% of all the proceeds raised from the summit will go directly to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Yeah, that's a great great initiative. They're doing good work. We've interviewed several.
Well, we have a show here called Make a Difference, and I think that Swipe for Change, who sponsors that show and hosts that show, they have some involvement with the Wounded Warrior Project.
Yeah,
we need to get you guys connected if we haven't already.
Certainly.
That's a great crowd there. So tell us a little bit more about this event, because it's coming up Saturday. Lots of good speakers, yeah?
This Saturday.
You couldn't secure Lee Cantor, but other than that, you got some good speakers, right?
He wouldn't respond to my email.
Right.
Email, we couldn't bribe him. I'm telling you, he's a tough nut. We're excited. We have a packed house. We have over 100 people there. We have over 30 vendors there. Some of the top quality experts in their industry will be there. If you're in 2012 looking how to increase your business, how to connect with better clients, what's the new trends for 2012? What are the things you need to do to stay in the game in 2012? They're going to be at this summit. And we're dedicated to helping the professional business owner, the corporations, the individual who are looking to make this year their year, own this year. We have a program in place that's going to help them do that through the summit.
And where's it going to be and what time?
It's Atlanta Perimeter Hotel and Suites right across the street from Perimeter Mall where the old W Hotel used to be. Doors open at 7:30 a.m., but the summit starts at 8:30 from 8:30 to 5:30. And we'll have a big social and networking event after at 5:30 to 7:30 in the hotel lobby.
What's the website?
It's www.stayinthegamesummit.com.
Okay, Robert, now I want to talk about this social media stuff because it has absolutely got me upside down.
Yeah.
You know, we have a good time in here and we have a lot of interviews and I feel like we generate a lot of content that is valuable to share. But I'm serious. My head spins every time. I don't know whether to tweet it or Facebook it or I don't. Where do you even start when it comes to leveraging social media to drive your purposes and grow your business?
Well, that's a great question. And for me personally, and the focus of our company is predominantly through Facebook right now because there's over 600 million people on that and growing. However, there are systems that we can put in place to tie it all into one, where you could go tweet it, and it would go to your Facebook. So there's several different ways that we do it, but again, mostly we focus our efforts on through Facebook.
And now, surely you must have to eat your own cooking to get your business, so you're not buying billboards on Interstate 75 to sell social media services. You're probably using Facebook to sell Facebook work, yeah?
That's correct. What we typically do, we like to market ourselves indirectly through people like Rico. Some of our other clients, we don't heavily go out there and network or sell our services because we want people to really come to us. You know, we were talking about referrals.
Right.
That's what we like. That means we already have instant credibility. We're not out there selling our services. Our services are selling themselves through our clients.
So how did you get into this line of the work? Did you know this is what you wanted to do, or did you sort of stumble into it from some other field?
Very good question. Yes, sir. I've actually...
You hear that? That's like two good questions in a row.
Yeah.
I know.
I did stumble into it. Matter of fact, I ran into Brian and Jennifer Hess, the owners of the company, and they invited me to come work with them. My career has been in sales and marketing, mostly through transportation, but I've also been in the staffing industry, so I understand what you're going through over there. But yes, I was stumbled into it, and it is it's a world of fun.
Well, I'm glad that you came to visit. I'm looking forward to hearing your remarks out at the event. Rico, it has been an absolute pleasure having you and your headliners come through the studio over the last several weeks.
Well, we can't thank you and Radio X for all your support. It's been an amazing experience. Can't wait to have you guys there. And again, for the Social Eclipse, they are the title sponsors and helping. This wouldn't exist without them. So thank you to everyone who's supporting us and for having you the time to have me here.
Well, you are more than welcome. This is fun stuff, man. It beats the heck out of work and getting to talk to all these smart people.
A lot of smart people.
Well, everybody's upbeat. You know, you read in the news or you turn on 6 o'clock news, they act like nothing's happening, doom and gloom. We come into the studio.
Here.
Everybody's upbeat. They want to talk. They're having a good time. And we really have had a studio full this morning. Our last guest on Atlanta Business Radio this morning is a gentleman with MyFitnessSolution.com. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this name. I'm just going to welcome him to the show and invite him to pronounce his name and then ask him to share a little bit about his business and what he's out there trying to do for folks. So welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much for having me here the second time. I learn always new things when I come here, especially when it comes to business, and God knows I need it. I've been in the health and fitness industry for 17 years, and my name, by the way, is Fatty Maloof.
It's, Fatty?
Yeah, I know.
A lot of people call me that. My daughters call me that.
Yeah.
Small world.
I know, right? So I've been in industry for 17 years in health and fitness industry, mainly as a private provider and as a personal trainer and a nutritionist. And in the last couple of years have really expanded and has been more of a pull for my services, my education, my articles, my publications, and so forth like that. So up to now, I've personally have transformed close to over 2,000 lives through the means of health and fitness and a little bit of lifestyle coaching as well. And I'm learning a lot more about business and marketing and learning how to impact more people and make a difference in more people. And marketing and systems and social medias and all that is a huge key component to reach out to more people. Our goal by 2015 is 20,000 transformed, and we have our own way of kind of seeing.
I love the way that he articulates that he's transformed X number of lives. And for those in the listening audience, I know you can't see it, but this gentleman does fill out his sweater really well. So he does have some credibility when he's talking about these things. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. I'm going to let my co-host tell you a little bit about his role in the fitness world, because that it really is a small world. Tell him who you really are, your other persona.
I am also Fatty. That's I have a show called Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy.
Oh, nice.
And I am the fat guy on the show.
He is not Dr. Fitness.
That's awesome.
So you interview a lot of people in this arena. I bet you have a ton of questions.
You got it. When you say transform the lives of 2,000 people, what does that mean?
Well, it started out with inspiring, actually. I competed as a professional natural bodybuilder for 9 years.
So you prefer natural than steroids?
Yes.
But there is a place for steroids, right? Because steroids, if you want to be... I mean, people our age, we're in a hurry to get this thing done. We don't have the time to work out for a couple hours a day.
I don't have anything against it. It's part of many sports.
Right.
And as you age, your testosterone levels drop, your hormones level drops.
Right.
And human growth hormone,
as you age, things slow down. You're closer to dying.
Right, like
okay?
I'm slowing down. Like I'm slowing down right now.
Exactly.
Actually, believe it or not, I was diagnosed for learning disorder with ADD.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I'm writing a book about it called ADD My Ass.
Right.
And the if, can I say that? Can we bleep that out?
Well, you just did. It's a done deal now.
And the last two S's are dollar signs of actually teaching people how to make money.
Right.
Out of a disorder. So over the years, I've become an entrepreneur in the fitness industry, and I've have multiple different businesses in the health and fitness industry.
But when you're working with people, are you still training them, like, you know, counting to 12, holding their weights, or are you online doing stuff? Or are you on the phone doing stuff?
Man, there's nothing that I'm not doing right now. Uh-huh. The list of things that I'm not doing would be shorter. Mm-hmm. But, yes, I do have a select few clients that I still work with, and one of them I brought with me today. If I can introduce him, that'll be great.
Yeah, we'll get him on the air. In fact, we'll have Rico, your 15 minutes of fame are up, buddy. Get out of the chair. And so we'll have the client. Go ahead and you keep talking, and we'll get him all suited up.
So, yeah, I have a few clients that I work with. And
this guy doesn't look like you. It's nothing personal. But
I'm working on it.
He's made a huge transformation, and from inspiring people to like watching me on the web or on TV, I've been on ESPN and a number of publications. That's one way to inspire somebody. I've helped people change where they've changed their bodies a little bit and their lifestyle and their approach to relationships and their business. But transformation, we're talking about, you know, dropping 100, 200 pounds. I've done work with clinically obese people where they weigh 400 or 300 pounds plus.
Right.
And then I've also worked with professional athletes as well, football players, bodybuilders, fitness competitors, and that so forth. So it's I've worked with a large range of people, and I've learned a lot over the last 17 years.
Introduce your guest here. Who
sure, Lane Devlin here with Einstein. HR.
Einstein
HR.
Are the bagel place?
Almost.
He's got a huge following of business, other business opportunities, businesses. He's got a huge list of a clientele servicing small businesses. I'll let you share a little bit more about your experience with me and your business or whatever you'd like to share.
Sure. Yeah, one of the reasons why I picked Fatty is because, you know, he does seem to be the expert in the industry. You know, he gets results. I was on high blood pressure medicine, cholesterol medicine, was overweight, was tired, you know, couldn't really do the things I needed to do. Started to play tennis to get some exercise, and just wasn't dropping the weight.
How much did you weigh when you started?
I weighed
400 pounds.
I weighed 903 pounds. No, I actually weighed a little over 200 pounds, which is a lot for a guy that's 5'7".
And then what are you now?
I'm right at 170 right now.
Well, and they're probably better pounds. I don't really understand
better
all this
pounds?
Stuff.
He's really strong right now.
Right?
He's very strong.
Because isn't muscle heavier than fat and all that stuff?
Really?
Am I reading the wrong book?
Is iron heavier than feathers?
I'm up early in the. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I see a lot of infomercials, and one of them said something about muscle being heavier than fat. Have I got that wrong?
I don't.
You don't know. You're the fat guy.
A pound of muscle and a pound of fat.
I
would think they weigh the same.
I will ask Dr. Fitness when he gets here.
Exactly.
Muscle weighs a lot more than fat. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
And I've really, I've lost 5.5 inches in my waist.
Wow.
And that is the number one thing.
Well, I noticed you tucked your shirt in. You don't seem Lee and I tucking our shirts in.
I have started to tuck it in again because, you know, the Dunlap disease, you know, my stomach Dunlapping over my belt has stopped a little bit, starting to reverse it. And, you know, just...
had you ever worked out before?
I had 20 years ago.
Like, if you were, you know, just like as a kid, you were younger and you went to the gym and you just kind of made up your own routine kind of thing?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, the normal...
Muscle and Fitness magazine and start doing some of their workouts?
Sure, occasionally. but I never really knew what all to do. You know, and the one thing that, you know, I thought I could do is just do it on my own.
Right.
The reality is it's not just about going in and grabbing weights. It's more about the nutrition, the combination of the exercise and nutrition. And, you know, he gives me the ability to come in, and he's got it all planned out.
So you don't have to
worry
think.
About it.
You don't have to think.
You
know,
I just
now,
go
do you,
and do
Do you compartmentalize your day that, okay, this is my fitness time, this is my business, this is my personal, or do you find that it's more effective to integrate your personal business, your wellness life all together? And what direction, if any, did you get from Fatty with regard to this?
Well, I do a little bit of all of it. I have specific times that I go in the morning. I knock out my cardio. I do some weights depending on the day. I do it 4 days a week. Play tennis on the weekends. I try to walk, go out with the kids a little bit when they will go out with me. even at the mall, we own a family business. So, my business, personal fitness, everything is kind of intertwined anyway. We provide payroll and HR services to small to medium sized businesses. And, we get to know our clients very well, and they call at all hours. So, I've been in the business for 22 years, and I've been able to do more in the last year than I was able to do probably in the last 5 to 7 years as I was gaining all that weight and just beginning to be more and more of a slug.
So does being more fit, in your opinion, actually lead to more productive business?
Yes. Yes. I have more energy. When I leave the gym, when I'm done, I'm ready to go. Got a lot of energy for the morning, got a lot of energy for the afternoon, and I'm still going. The night calls from California and all that, it's not an issue. We even get calls, 8, 9 o'clock our time, and I'm still okay with that. Before, if it was anything after 6, I was hoping someone else would answer the phone.
You had already poured that scotch and had your slippers on.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how would I know that?
Well, cool. So why don't you talk about, Fadi, best way to get a hold of you if somebody wants to learn more?
LinkedIn, of course. Guys, our marketing guys here. MyFitnessSolution.com, MFSCentral.com also. I have another website called BodyByFatty.com. Those are the best ways to get a hold of me.
All right. Before we wrap up, I know that you talk often about 5 fitness secrets.
Yes.
Can you share a couple with us? We'll have you come back and share the rest of them another time. And we'd love to have you back on the show and talk about your business sometime, Lane.
I'd love it.
In more detail. I think that would be for a terrific show. But let's as we close out today's show,
sure.
Let's leave them with a couple of strong fitness tips.
Okay, absolutely. I can tell people what to do then talk about myself. So this is perfect. All right. Do you want all 5 tips?
Knock them out.
Really
man.
Quick. Okay, first one, top 5, successful mindset. I have a motto, dream, play, be. It helps me keep going. Dream is to visualize your goals. Play is have fun in what you're doing. And be, just be that possibility for you and everybody around you. Next, number 4, stay in action with an acronym called BALANCE. B is for breath. This is your cardio work. 2 miles a day is suggested. A is for aqua. It's for your hydration, your water intake.
Does it have to be just water?
Preferably water,
well,
yes.
I was mentioning scotch earlier. A 12-year-old McCollin. Go ahead. I'm interrupting.
2 ounces. L for stretching, for lengthening. We're stretching everywhere and anywhere. Keep it appropriate. A for anaerobic exercise, which is strength training, corrective exercise. There's difference between fitness and endurance there. We can talk about that more later. Nutrition. If you're starting out a meal plan or a nutrition plan, follow it 100% first 90 days and then continue following an 80-20%, 80% of what you need, 20% of what you want. And you will succeed and you will maintain permanent fat loss and success in your health and fitness. C for cleanse and fasting. So detoxing from yourself, whether it be certain foods that are not good for you or just fasting like you're doing a water fast. And then finally, E for energy work, which is sleep and meditation, affirming your values, your goals, and so forth. Number 3, make fitness fit your lifestyle, okay? And not the other way around. Be strong, feel the burn, and be accomplished. And finally, my number 1 fitness secret is in the world is stay in touch with your goals. Using a 10% solution, a dime a day will keep the doctor away, meaning just invest 10% of your time in yourself and in the personal development, which will roll over into your professional development for sure.
Good stuff. Well, that wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and all of our guests here, and we will see you all next time.